Susan Hunt has been involved with women's ministry in the local church for a long time, and she wants to invest in other women so that the work can carry on without her.
We want this ministry to be such that if we drop dead, the ministry will not hiccup. The principles are still there. They're not dependent upon us to keep it going.
You're listening to the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Adorned, for May 9th, 2019.
As we get close to Mother's Day, we're exploring a hugely important topic with our guest, Susan Hunt. All week, she's been explaining this whole concept of what she calls spiritual mothering. If you've missed any of the episodes this week, you can hear them at reviveourhearts.com. Now, nearly 20 years ago, Susan wrote a book that was a precursor in a lot of ways to the true woman movement that we talk a lot about on Revive Our Hearts. Susan's book was called The True Woman, The Beauty and Strength of a Godly Woman. And recently she updated it so that it could reach a new generation of women. I was so honored when Susan asked if I would be willing to write the foreword to this book, and of course agreed to do so. The book has been repackaged, re-released, and it's hot off the press. We'd love to send you a copy of Susan's book, The True Woman, when you support Revive Our Hearts this week with a gift of any amount. You can visit reviveourhearts.com to take us up on that. Now, as we pick back up on this week's conversation, Susan's going to explain what she means by spiritual mothering.
It is based on the passage in Titus 2 when Paul writes to Titus that the older women are to train the younger women. And the word train means to model, to demonstrate. So what we see here is a nurturing, caring ministry of discipleship. It is both informational and relational. It's sharing life as well as the gospel with other women in order to encourage and equip them to live for God's glory.
Wow, I love it. And the impact on the whole church, not just women, but all ages, men, women, families, the church structure. I think Titus, he had his hands full in this church in Crete, on the island of Crete. And Paul so wisely said to him, look, you're not supposed to be the one doing all the hands-on discipling of these women in your church. You're supposed to be teaching what accords with sound doctrine. And then here's how the women are to flesh this out, how they're to figure it out, how they're to live it out in different seasons of life. So there's, of course, the ministry of the word from the pastoral staff, the preaching of the word. There's no substitute for that. Women's ministry in the local church doesn't replace that, but it's how it gets worked out into the warp and woof of everyday life. And so we've talked about mentoring relationships, discipling relationships, encouraging relationships, but today I want us to take that even a little more broadly and talk about, in the context of a women's ministry in the local church, what can that look like? Why is it so important? And I've asked a friend of both of ours to join us for this conversation today. Leslie Bennett has been a friend for many years, another Southern gal. You'll hear her voice in just a moment. And she served as a women's ministry leader, director in her local church for many years in Columbia, South Carolina, and is now serving with Revive Our Hearts as the coordinator, the leader of our women's ministries initiatives. And Leslie, say hi so they'll know for sure that you don't come from Michigan as I do.
Hello, ladies.
Well, Susan has such a heart for women and women's ministry, and Revive Our Hearts desires to see this kind of ministry established in local churches all across the country and around the world, because this is not just an American concept. This is a biblical concept. And so I know we have people listening who, some of them are in churches that have well-established women's ministries. Some of them are doing a really good job at this kind of ministry. Some of them are very much more events-based, and women wish there was more of this mentoring going on. And then some are in churches where there's no kind of such concept present. So we're talking to a wide audience here. But I'd love to hear just the two of you women interact with us some about what are some of the core values as you think about the women's ministry in your local church. What do you want to make sure as it's getting started? What is foundational? What do you need to make sure is there is not missing as you think about women's ministry in the local church. Both of you have done this for years and years. So, Susan, why don't you go ahead and get us started? Foundational principles of women's ministry in the local church.
I think we have to start with a commitment to establishing a women's ministry based on biblical principles as opposed to an event or task or personality-driven ministry. That is a huge order because so often what happens is there are so many tasks to be done, there are events to be planned, and there are strong personalities leading the ministry, all of which are good, but we need to be sure that those are grounded on biblical principles.
I like to describe it as women linking arms together once those foundations are in place. There's that biblical, word-based ministry, and it's a ministry of prayer where women are growing in their prayer lives. But women need to link their arms together, living life on life together, whereas on one side you have the older woman that has walked, is a little bit further down the journey than you are, and then that younger woman on the other side. And it's a ministry of care and compassion between women in the local church. It's extending that gospel love to each other and being welcoming to each other as the gospel is. And it is a gospel imperative, as you've said, Susan, so beautifully, to live out that Titus 2 mandate of the older women teaching the younger women.
Now, I can hear some pastors, I've actually heard some pastors over the years, express a little concern about how a women's ministry in the church can become kind of its own thing, detached from the life of the whole church. And there maybe is a fear sometimes on the part of the pastor, the elders, about is this going to take off? Is it going to go in a wrong direction? Is it going to be biblically sound? Is it going to be something that ends up causing us more trouble? How do we make sure that these women's ministries in the context of our local churches fit in well to the context of the spiritual leadership of the local church? Talk to a woman, she's getting started. Does she just go get a group started, say, we're going to have a Titus 2 ministry in our church? How does she go about this?
We need to back up. And first of all, if there are women who are interested in beginning a women's ministry, they need to begin with prayer. Pray together, but then begin studying some materials that help us to know what are the biblical foundations. Are there biblical foundations for a women's ministry in a church? And the book that Ligon Duncan and I wrote several years ago addresses that, Women's Ministry in the Local Church.
And that book is available through Revive Our Hearts. It's linked to this program at reviveourhearts.com. So it's another book we recommend by Susan Hunt and Dr. Ligon Duncan, another great resource.
By Ligon and me writing the book together, we were able to show that women's ministry must come under the oversight of the leaders of the church, because it's imperative that a women's ministry not live in its own orbit, but rather that it is a part of the total ministry of the church. It's one part of the discipleship ministry of the church. So in the book, Women's Ministry in the Local Church, we look at five principles that are taken from the books of Timothy and Titus, because those books were written to young pastors telling them how to have healthy churches. And there are five passages that speaks specifically about women. And the principles in those passages then are ecclesiastical submission. In other words, a women's ministry is to be one part of the ministry of the church. It is to be under the oversight. It is to coordinate with, to support, to further the ministry of the entire church. The second principle is compassion, that women are to be equipped to extend practical compassion within the life of that covenant family, that local church. The third principle is community, that women have been designed and equipped to bring a sense of family into the local church, and so they're to be discipled to do so. And then the fourth principle is our Titus passage, which is gender-specific discipleship. And it is through this discipleship that women are taught why we are to submit to the male leadership of the church. We begin to teach women why and how they are to bring the women's ministry under that oversight. And we see the richness, the totality of it, the way that this brings harmony into the life of the church. Through gender-specific discipleship, through Titus 2 discipleship, women are taught to be cultivators of compassion and to nurture community life in the church. And those two things feed each other. As we bring compassion into our communities become stronger. And then the fifth principle is the sufficiency of Scripture. And everything else that we have said rests upon and flows out of Scripture. So for the woman who wants to start a women's ministry in her church, I would suggest getting the book, reading it with some other women, and then go to your pastor and have a conversation with him.
Now, Leslie, as Susan has been talking, I see your eyes are getting big and you're wanting to jump in here. So you want to respond to what Susan just said.
I would love to. The resource Women's Ministry in the Local Church, you've recommended it for women's leaders, particularly in getting started a women's ministry. It's also a great resource for a pastor to help give him a vision for how he wants that to look in his church and how it does fit under the umbrella of the discipleship for the church. And I can just testify that as a women's ministry director that we're longing, yearning for the pastor to share with us his vision for the women in his church and to impart to us what he wants to see us doing. And so we're hungry for that. So that's one of the things that I would encourage a pastor is to, you know, take the time to share that with us. We want your authority. We want your input. And we need to have a great dialogue between us so that we're always in conversation about the studies that we're doing and the direction we're taking and how can we pray for the church. A beautiful gift of the women's ministry to a church is to pray for their local pastor and for the staff. And so there should be just a beautiful, sweet, a surrendered relationship between pastor and the women's ministry leaders.
We have a women's ministry leader in a large local church, a well-known church. She's become an active part of True Woman and Revive Our Hearts. And I remember her telling me that she was the first woman in her church who had ever had a vision for a women's ministry. There really wasn't anything like that. And when she started, she said she was really swimming upstream because the pastoral staff didn't have this vision. They were doing other things. They had just been through some real difficult things in their church. Their focus was elsewhere. And she said it was really a challenge initially to get support. But what I appreciated about the way that she handled this was she didn't become a burr in their saddle. She didn't whine, complain, badmouth, undermine the pastors, as I've heard others do. If they would just get this vision, they just don't pay any attention to women's ministry. They don't give us any budget in the women's ministry. That's counterproductive. But what she did was what you just described, Leslie. She began to graciously, winsomely, humbly talk with the pastoral staff, share with them what she felt God was putting on their hearts, share with them what she felt God was putting on her heart, and then she was patient. She waited till God was working. And she didn't wait to do anything, but she waited. She didn't just like say, I'm going to start this whole ministry and overwhelm these pastors who already had their hands full with other things in the life of that church. She worked with them. And it took a little longer than she would have thought maybe was needed. But now they have a beautiful, thriving, healthy local church women's ministry that has the blessing and the oversight of that pastoral staff. So a longer process than maybe what she would have wanted, but a really good and healthy one.
I have a friend who prayed for 7 years for her church to be open to Titus 2 discipleship. Another who prayed for 2 years and waited patiently, as you said. And then the Lord began to open up for them to start the women's ministry. But in both cases, and in many others that I've seen, those women were so grounded, they were so trusting in the Lord, they were better prepared to lead that ministry because they had waited and prayed.
So pray and wait is such great advice for those women serving in the local church wanting to get some things going, and they're so energetic and excited, and they're ready to jump right out of the chute, but to pray and to wait. And what I love is these resources that we're recommending to the local leaders are giving them biblical principles, but there's not just one model for women's ministry. And so as you pray and wait under the authority of your pastor, it's going to look different at different churches. So we don't want to rush out, try to duplicate exactly what someone else is doing, but to wait on the Lord to show us how to tailor what the needs are to our women in our church. And so that's where the praying and the waiting comes in as well.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake to hope for something that will be a cookie cutter resource here. Here's what you do. Here are the 12 steps to get a women's ministry program going, because it will look different in your church. For one thing, church structures can be quite different. The needs of the women or the local congregation can be different. The heart and burden that's on the pastor's heart can look different. So there's not one size fits all for local church women's ministry, but you want to make sure that you have these elements, these components, these pieces. And you discuss this, Susan, in the book you wrote with Dr. Ligon Duncan, but also in Spiritual Mothering. There's a lot of wisdom there about women's ministry in the local church. And so this is a matter of asking the Lord, what's your vision for how that should look in our church?
It's more important to have the biblical principles, those what we may call core values, and then you adjust and adapt it to the particular situation and the particular time, because at different times in the life of a church, different things are needed. So by having these principles, it helps protect us from single-focus ministries or from personality-dominated ministries or from getting stuck in one model. It's flexible. How we flesh it out is flexible. So if we're always coming back to the biblical principles, we will see at times, well, this particular structure is no longer working, but we still hang on to the principles, the biblical principles.
And it's not tied to a personality.
Yes.
And explain that a little bit more. And when that personality moves or leaves, does the women's ministry continue or not? That's an indicator if we have those biblical principles and foundation.
You're exactly right, and that's such an important principle, too, to remember that if we have the biblical principles and if we're continually teaching those to the leaders of the ministry as well as to all of the women, even in the way we promote the ministry, we can use the language of these principles. We can use the overarching ideas from Scripture so that women at large understand the foundations of the women's ministry. Then there will be continuity. And as we train those new leaders each time they come in, there's continuity not based on the person leading, but based on the principles. One of the things I always tell women when I'm involved in a women's ministry is, we want this ministry to be such that if we drop dead, the ministry will not hiccup. The principles are still there. They're not dependent upon us to keep it going.
Amen.
Let me address this to whichever one of you wants to respond, but I know there are some women who feel that in their church, the expectation is that women's ministry equals events. They're going to have the spring thing, this fall thing, this retreat. There's a pattern of, and it's always been this way, and the expectation is that we'll do this banquet, this whatever. And I think some women who have a heart for Titus 2 ministry, for spiritual mothering, for discipleship of their women, feel like we expend all our energy and our effort and our time and our resources pulling off these events. I know you can't do a one-size-fits-all answer, and we're not saying there shouldn't be events in the life of a church, but how do you think about events in the context of what really needs to be happening with women in the church?
It must begin with the leadership team looking at the umbrella of the women's ministry and seeing all the various elements. And we've got to be sure that our Bible studies, our discipleship is the driving force there. And then that events and any other programs or projects or whatever are an extension of that. They're helping to accomplish the same purpose. So you begin with this overarching purpose. And then you try to make sure that everything you do helps to accomplish that. It brings it all together. And within the resources, we give some evaluative questions that women can use, just simple things like, what is the purpose of this event? If you can't clarify the purpose and see that it flows out of your overarching purpose, then more than likely it's just an event. And so those kinds of questions will help leadership teams to think biblically about everything they do.
Well, so much more that could be said and that we could delve into on this subject, but I want to take just a moment as we close here and say that our heart as a Revive Our Hearts team is not in any way to replace the ministry of the local church. We are no substitute for what God wants to do in and through the women in your church, in the context of your church, because you do life together. This is God's pattern, is for discipleship and growth and ministry and compassion ministry and prayer and teaching to take place in the context of the local church. So listening to Revive Our Hearts podcast or broadcast every day, reading the True Woman blog, these are resources intended to help, but intended to serve the local church. So we want to do everything we can. We are doing everything we can to encourage and to affirm, to support, to resource, to motivate, to mobilize. What other words could I use? Local church women's ministries. And that's why we have a team, a number on our team, but Leslie Bennett, who's heading up our women's ministries initiatives. And Leslie, I'd like to ask you just to take a minute or two here to share some of what is available through Revive Our Hearts, how we could serve them. We have some who are women's ministry leaders listening, some who say, there's nothing in our church, but I wish there was something. What can we do to serve them? How can we serve them? What are we available to do and to offer that might be of interest to women in relation to their local church women's ministry?
Well, I can say that when I was a women's ministry leader, I was able to look to Revive Our Hearts and find all kinds of resources that were easy for me to duplicate in the local church. And we want to continue to do that. If I can send people to reviveourhearts.com and then to click on the leader tab, maybe you've never discovered that before, but there is a wealth of resources, content there directed to you specifically as a women's leader, whether that's a mentor, a small group leader, or church staff. There are articles there. You can search how to look at topics to explore further. There's a leader connection blog that is written by leaders, for leaders with your same heart. Other leaders are walking the same walk that you are. And so we're trying to encourage you. We want to equip you in what you're doing. And let me say that we want to hear from you. We would like to hear from you. What are your challenges? Where are you struggling? What are some additional things that we can be doing for you just to lift you up and to encourage you and to thank you for what you're doing to serve the bride of Christ?
In fact, I noticed that on that recent leader connection, there was an article by Susan Hunt. Explain what that was. And we'll link to that on this program.
Yes, I'd encourage you to go back and read that such wonderful wisdom from Susan. I asked her to think about, from her perspective in dealing with hundreds of churches over her whole career in women's ministry, what are the mistakes that we tend to make in our eagerness to get started with the women's ministry? And so she highlighted four of those for us, and I see them also mistakes that I was tempted to make and have made, just rushing into it without stopping to wait, having that haste without waiting to pray, having that personality-driven ministry without taking the time to build a team. God may be speaking to your heart right now, saying, you know, it's time for you to step up and meet with your pastor and to try to get something going at your church among the women. Well, that's not a one-woman job. It is a team. So it's assembling that team to get together. And there's so much more there. I'm just touching on a couple of things there, but I encourage you to read Susan's, and there's other things like that available.
So let us know how we can serve you, how we can serve your local church. You may be a pastor's wife listening and or a woman who just wants to be discipled in your local church, and you want to know how more of this could be taking place in the context of that community of faith, life to life, generation to generation. And we want to be able to serve you with resources connecting you to people like Susan Hunt and Leslie Bennett and others on our staff who serve local church women's ministries. So please take advantage of those resources. Contact us at reviveourhearts.com. Go to that leader tab and see what's there, and then let us know how we can pray for you, how we can encourage you, and how we can resource you as you serve the Lord in the context of your local church. I am so grateful for the opportunity God has given us here at Revive Our Hearts to invest in the lives of women around the world, including the lives of those who are leading women's ministries in the local church and elsewhere. And the reason we're able to do all of that is thanks to you and to other listeners like you who pray and who give to support this ministry financially. And we need to hear from you this month. This is the end of our budgeting cycle. We call May our fiscal year end. That means we're making plans to continue our existing ministry outreaches and to take on some new projects and initiatives. But all of these need funding. So ending this fiscal year strong makes a big difference in the ministry that we can do over the next year. That's why we're asking the Lord to provide at least $775,000 in donations here in the month of May. That's a big amount, but if each of us does whatever the Lord puts on our heart to do, I believe the entire amount will be met. My husband Robert and I have asked the Lord what he would want us to do to help meet this need. And I wonder if you'd pray. Ask the Lord how much he would want you to give to help with this fiscal year-end need. And when you make a donation of any size to Revive Our Hearts this week, we'd like to send you Susan Hunt's book called The True Woman: The Beauty and Strength of a Godly Woman. It's been updated and it's just being re-released this month. It'll give you a great biblical overview of what it means to be a woman, how are women and men different, and how can we as women serve the body of Christ and put the gospel on display in uniquely feminine ways. I hope you'll explore these questions and be inspired in your calling as a woman by getting Susan's book. You can make your donation online at reviveourhearts.com. Or be sure to ask for Susan's book, The True Woman, when you call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Listeners like you play a huge role in the mission and the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. I'm excited to see how the Lord works through our listeners this month to help us call women to greater freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. And we'll continue that mission tomorrow when Susan Hunt returns. In our era where there's so much confusion about the whole subject of gender, Susan will remind us of something simple yet profound. Men and women are different. Hear more tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth is encouraging and equipping you to live for God's glory. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.